Now, most people don't have a pet name for their bike. I never did you? But it's understandable if you've spent 3 months on the road riding 800 kilometres from the most southern to the most northern point in Europe. Andrew Sykes has done that and has written about it. Spain to Norway on a bike called Reggie. I asked him, why Reggie?
It's a ridgeback panorama bike. Rather than continuously referring to the bike, to give it a name.
Andrew started in Tarifa in Spain and cycled through 8 countries, finishing in Nordkap in Norway, just inside the Arctic Circle. He says the nice part of cycling is that it gives a great view of different countries.
You see not just the expected things, Salamanca, Paris, Brussels, all those other places that you've probably heard of before, but you also get to discover and stumble upon the quiet, out-of-the-way places that you haven't even read about in your guidebook in advance, and you arrive, you rock up in town and you think, oh, wow.
Andrew told me some of the mountainous parts were tough, but they were also quite rewarding.
The mountains of central Spain, they were a challenge, and that was actually at a relatively early stage of the spring. So once you started climbing a few hundred metres, it did actually get quite cold. The big mountains came, of course, in southern Norway. The compensation, of course, with the climbing is the views that you get and the isolation.
Cycling through so many countries gave Andrew the chance to observe the behaviour of motorists, and he was surprised by the place where he had the most problems.
The tradition in Germany is that if there's a cycle lane, you are expected by the drivers to use it, but very often the path will be in poor condition or ravaged by roots. And if you can imagine, if you're cycling on a bike with quite a lot of luggage, it doesn't make for the easiest of cycling conditions. The male, older German drivers, put it that way, would be more than happy to tell you, in terms of beeping their horns and shaking their fists, that you should be on the cycle path.
One of Andrew's favourite places on the route was Cap Breton in France, which he felt didn't look real.
I think in the book I compare it to The Truman Show. Very pristine, very nice people, almost too nice, almost too pristine.
But it was Norway that made a real impression on Andrew.
A beautiful, dramatic, remote country. And, you know, if you're wanting escape from modern life, go on a cycle along that coastal road where you're ferry hopping perhaps 2 or 3 times a day and cars are few and far between.
And he recommends visiting the town of Tromsø.
The location is spectacular. It's a 360-degree ring of snow-capped mountains, even in the middle of July.
Andrew says there was an added attraction.
The most northerly beer in the world is brewed in the town by a company called Mac. I spent some of my afternoon just sitting in the Mac pub. I dread to think how much it cost me, but it wasn't cheap.
Most cyclists wouldn't have the time or ability to ride the full routes that Andrew took, so I asked him which parts he'd recommend for somebody who had just a few spare days.
Along the Loire Valley, from Nantes all the way up to Orléans, really good cycling facilities. In Sweden, I think I must have been one of the first people to cycle along something called the Kattegatleden, a cycle route that had just opened towards the south of Sweden, but as far as Gothenburg. And that was wonderful. Beautiful country to cycle through, beautiful views, warm, welcoming people.
Find out more about Andrew's route and his adventures in his book, Spain to Norway, on a bike called Reggie.